I'm glad I'm in the hands of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Good to see each and every one of you that's in the church house, but also you that are home. We're glad you're tuning in. I want you to pray for us, and we are looking forward to a great remainder of the service, and we're looking forward to some preaching. You need some preaching. Amen. And I need to do some preaching. Amen. You need to hear and I need to practice. Somebody say amen right there. This kind of brings back a lot of memories. We have about 15 people doing the broadcast tonight. And when I first got saved and I got called to Leatherwood Baptist, that was the average crowd, about 15 people. And I thought I had a big crowd when we got up to 18 people. But I am thankful that you are here. I'm thankful for what God is doing. I know this is unusual times. I know many of you are frightened and scared. But let me give you some advice. You trust in God. He'll take care of you. He's got everything under control. Somebody help me. I'm going to preach tonight. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of Samuel. The book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, if you would, in your Bibles, and verses 1 through 10, I've got a message that kind of goes along with the times that we're living, what we're going through, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you tonight. And God's doing some things. I really believe God's got a big plan for us. I believe God is trying to get our attention. And if it's going to be by using this virus to get our attention, God didn't send the virus, but he can use the virus to get our attention. Somebody help me preach. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Let me read a familiar story. And I love this story. Every time I read this story, I still get thrilled by it. I still get emotional by it. I still get a thrill by what God's trying to give us in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. So get your Bibles open. And let's look at the scripture. The Bible said, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down to his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. By the way, that's happening in our nation today. The light of God is leaving the temple of God, but I'm glad there's still a light at Taze Valley Baptist Church. I'm glad there's still a witness at Taze Valley Baptist Church. I'm glad the word of God's still going out at Taze Valley Baptist Church. I'm glad we're supporting ministries at Taze Valley Baptist Church. I'm glad missionaries all over the world are there because of Taze Valley Baptist Church. Hallelujah, that we still got the light of the God. The Bible said where the ark of God was and Samuel was laid down to sleep. I wanted to get the picture to you. And the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, how am I? Or here am I, for thou didst call me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I call not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood. Boy, I like that. That's not mentioned much. We know it's mentioned here about Samuel. And then we know it's mentioned about Stephen. And when Stephen died, the Lord was standing upon the right hand of God. And it's mentioned here in Samuel. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant hears. Let's pray. Our Father, I ask you now, give me power. Let me help somebody tonight. There's folks that's listening all over the country. And I pray right now that you would help us to just preach with power, with fervency, with an urgency. And we'll give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Let me say to you that are listening by live stream tonight, will you do me a favor? Would you get on your app and put a share? Share this message right now. Share this program right now so it can go to as many people as possibly can be reached tonight that might, somebody might get saved by the grace of God and get touched. I love this story. It's the story of a mama that was, she was barren. She had no children. But somebody ought to praise him right now. I am glad that when we pray, and the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hannah got down on her knees and she prayed for a son, and God gave her a son. And she told God, if you give me a son, I will put him in the temple. I will give him to you. And by the way, I still think we ought to give our kids to God. I still believe we ought to teach them to worship. I still believe we ought to bring them out to the house of God. I still believe in raising them right. I still believe in pouring in standards. I still believe in pointing them to God. Amen. There's no Samuel in the temple. Sleep. I just seen. Then the voice said, Samuel! Samuel! And he woke up and he was startled. And he ran to Eli, the preacher. And he said, here am I. And Eli said, hold on. I didn't call for you. Go back and lay down again. So Samuel went back and laid down. Then a second time, the Bible said he was sleeping real comfortably. And the voice of God came. And by the way, we still need to hear the voice of God. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel came to Eli and said, here am I. And then he said, I didn't call for thee. Go lie down again. And then Samuel came back and came to Eli. And God called him again and the third time. And he came to Eli. And God showed Eli, hey, hold it. Hold it. Something big's happening. Something big's happening. Something big's happening. If this happens again, you wake up and you say to God, speak, for thy servant heareth. I want you to know something. What's going on in our land today is a whole lot about what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. Here's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Samuel, three times in his sleep, was interrupted. And I want to preach on this subject. Interruptions. I believe that's kind of timely. How many agree with me that's timely? Because everything about us has been interrupted in these last couple months, and especially in these last couple weeks. Our country has literally come to a halt. We were in this country. Normal is not anymore. Hey, everything's a mess. There's no direction, and folks are scared to death, and people are they're mad at everybody, and they're mad at this person, and even mad at God. But I want to tell you, I believe God's got a big purpose in this. He's interrupting this country. And by the way, he's interrupting our culture. You know what happened is, on Wednesday afternoon, here's what I do. I come to church a little late. I go and check my notes out, get ready for Bible study. Then I go to one of the local restaurants, sit down, have me a meal about 3:00, so it'll settle real good. And then 7:00, I'll come and preach. My whole routine's gone. All culture's upside down. I did it by accident. This evening I did it. I went right over to Fireside. or one of those restaurants over there, right in that area, it was going to go in. Ain't nobody there. Everything's interrupted. And then I think about our communities. I want y'all to know something. I pastor in Taze Valley, and I love all y'all in Taze Valley, but I think y'all all are crazy. I've watched you. I mean, you people, the other day I was in Kroger's, and I'm telling you, there was a little old woman. She was about 75 years old, didn't stand much taller than that, and I was getting ready to get me a loaf of bread, and she went whoop like an eagle, grabbed that loaf of bread, and took off. And I looked at her and I said, God bless you. Our communities, we're upside down. And then our churches. And I want to say this. There'll probably be some people criticize me for not having church tonight. And then there are going to be some people who would criticize me if I had church tonight. But here's what I say. And I want to say this to all the pastors and all my friends. Whatever God tells you to do in your church, you do it. And I'm not going to criticize you. I'm going to leave you alone because we are in uncharted territory. I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. All I can do is know that because he lives, I live also. And because he lives, now he's going to take care of tomorrow. Somebody help me. Amen. So what I'm going to do for the next few minutes, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit be your usher. And I'm going to be your guide. And I want to take you in the Word of God and show you five areas and five times that God interrupted somebody for a purpose. Now, I want to say this. I'm used to walking down front, so I'm going to do it. Now, I want you to know, I know your life's been interrupted. Every one of you in this room has been interrupted. Everyone that's listened to me by way of live stream, your life's been interrupted. But I'm really wanting to tell you what God wants. He wants you to come to a point in your life right now and say, God, speak, for thy servant heareth. If there's ever a time that we need to listen to God, if there's ever a time we need to get on our face and say, God, speak to us, it's tonight. Amen. So I'm going to take you to five places. I'll be like Elizabeth Taylor said to her eighth husband, I won't keep you long. But let me give you eight or five points. Lord, I'm about to jump to 8 points. Lord, scale about to have a spell over her. She's over to my left. Somebody asked me what I was going to do tonight, not having anybody in the auditorium to preach to. Well, I figure as long as I got Lowell Scale here, I got plenty of preaching material. Somebody say amen right there. Hi, Lowell. Amen. Some of you just smiled. Number one, in Acts chapter number 9, I love this story. The Bible said, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and a slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that it might be found any in the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. I want you to know Saul consented unto death of Stephen. Stephen died because of Saul. And Saul's intent was to destroy the church. But I want you glad, aren't you glad? Whoa! That God can step into your life and change everything. Amen. And the Bible said, as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Number one, God interrupted Saul on the road to Damascus to convert him. First of all, he fell under conviction. He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, I'm old-timey. I believe the Bible teaches that if you're going to get saved, you got to fall under conviction. Amen. There'll be a time in your life where God convicts you and troubles you. Being saved, not signing the church card, turning over a new leaf, going to the baptistry. No, being saved is falling under conviction. I'll tell you why we don't see the conversions we used to see. Because I think there's a lack of conviction. I don't think we're preaching like we used to preach it. Somebody help me preach. And then I see a confession. Look at verse 6. And trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth. Number 2, not only did I see a conviction, I saw confession. He confessed. By the way, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then number 3, he rose up and his life was changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, I believe this. If God convicts you and you confess him, it'll change your life. He was a persecutor. Now he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving the gospel to the whole world. And God used this vehicle to write 14 epistles and have 3 great missionary journeys. And I'm glad for the day on January 31st, 1973, the high sheriff of heaven came and arrested me and interrupted my life and came into my life and changed me for his glory. Amen. Number 2, in the book of Jonah, chapter number 1, you can go over it. I'll just give you the story. Not only did God interrupt Paul on the road to Damascus to convert him, but God interrupted Jonah in his rebellion to correct him. Having heard the story of Jonah, everybody's heard about Jonah and the whale. Say amen right there. Amen. Jonah was a rebel. Yep. I'm preaching to some people right now. You're about ready to turn the TV off. Don't you dare do it. You're rebelling against God right now. You've got an attitude. Your actions are bad. The way you look at things are bad. Hey, I want you to know what you are. You're a Jonah. Yep. Help me now. Amen. Let me give you this. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Yes, amen? Amen. Are you rebelling against God? Is that why your marriage is about ready to go down the tubes? Is that why your job is in jeopardy? Is it because of your rebellion? You need God's correction. I'll tell you what happens. When you get away from God, you go down. Let me say it again. You get away from God, you go down. He went down in the ship. Then the Bible said, he went down into the sides of the ship. Then the Bible said they threw him off the boat and he went down in the whale's belly. Yep. There's an example of rebellion in the New Testament. His name's Simon Peter. I mean, he's heard of the story. Come here, Tyler. I know we're supposed to practice social distancing, but I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to try not to touch you much. Come here. Let me show you how people get away from God. It don't happen automatically. The Bible said about Peter, first of all, he walked afar off. Remember when you got saved? We'll do this, huh? You're close to God. Amen?
Yes, sir.
You remember?
Yes, sir.
But here's how we get away. First of all, Simon Peter got away by the carelessness of his walk. The Bible said he walked afar off. And here's how we do it. It's not real complicated. Here's how we do it. We start missing Wednesday night service. Then we start listening to people at work that's telling dirty jokes. Then we feel like, well, we ought not have to go to Sunday school. Y'all with me? Then we go a little step further and say, well, I'll go once a month to church. Then we start telling the jokes ourselves. Then we get clear out of church. And that's how it happens. And it starts by the, thank you, by the carelessness of your walk. Then it start, also was there because of the company he kept. The Bible said he warmed his hands at the hands of the enemy. You know why some of you have rebelled? And you know why you are away from God? It's because you're running around with the wrong people.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And then the Bible says about Peter, the condition of his heart. He denied Christ. The Bible said the heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? It's a heart problem. That's where rebellion comes. It comes out of the heart. Some of you have listened to me right now. You're about ready to lose everything. Why? It's because of your rebellion, and God's trying to correct you. Number three. Number one, God interrupted Paul on the road to Damascus to correct him. He interrupted Jonah in his rebellion to correct him. And he interrupted in chapter 5 of Daniel, Belshazzar in his sin to condemn him. Y'all know the story. I love this story. How would you like to be in this story? They threw a big party in Babylon. Ungodly party. I'll tell you how bad they were, Kristen. They took the holy vessels of God and poured wine in them. And they had an orgy. And they thought they were getting by with it. And you know what happened? Look, yeah, come on, help me, brother. I'll tell you, come on, help me. I'll tell you what happened. There was a hand came up on the plaster and it wrote certain things. And when Daniel came and interpreted, he said, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. I'll tell you this. If God does not judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I want to say this, and some of you knuckleheads better listen to me. God's trying to get your attention.
Yep. Amen.
Let me say it again. God's trying to get your attention. If what's going on in our country right now hadn't got your attention, then you're a mess and you're hopeless. Amen. I tell you what Belshazzar done. He disregarded his history. Because see, God spoke to his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. And he just despised his heritage. He defiled holiness. And he defied heaven. He stuck his little hand up and mocked God. Some of you think you're going to get by with your sin. You think because you can get behind your computer and practice your pornography and your homosexuality and your wickedness that you're going to get by with that sin. But I want you to know something. My God is going to judge sin and judge America and judge sinners. Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number four, interrupted Saul on the road of Damascus to convert him. Jonah in his rebellion to correct him. Belshazzar in his sin to condemn him. Oh, but I like this one. Y'all get your Bibles. Chad, get your Bibles. I want you to shout right now. One of these days, hey, Lois, whoo, one of these days, he's going to interrupt the church. Amen. And come back after us. Yep. You know what I've been saying in my office all day? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Look what the Bible said. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which has no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let me stop right there. A lot of people get confused by that. Here's what it's talking about. When you die, your soul and spirit goes home to be with God. Your body goes back to the earth and it goes to sleep. Hello? Yep. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Woo! And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. You know, I'll tell you what I'm trying to do as the leader of this church. And my staff, all of them are here tonight. We're just working. These ladies came out to sing. The camera folks are up in the camera loft. They're here, they're just working, serving God. One of these days, whoo, we're going to be like Enoch. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and was not. You see where you're going? I'm not going to be an astronaut, but I'm going to be a was not. He's going to come back after us. Let me just show you. I'm almost done. Let me show you. Here's how it's going to work. First of all, he's going to come in the air. He'll return in the air. Now listen to me. This is the rapture. It is not the second coming. When he comes back, the second coming, he ain't coming for the church, but the church is coming with him. And then there'll be a resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I did a funeral. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. A brother, John McDonough. Boy, I'm about to get happy. And brother John, sit about where you are, Stacy. October 17, 2018, Holy Ghost came and saved John. Amen. And then February 6, 2019, he was baptized. Went home to be with the Lord. And had his funeral yesterday. His body was in the coffin, but he is up there in heaven. Somebody say amen. And I want you to know something about John. And it reminded me, because where he was buried is where my mom and dad's buried. One of these days, the Lord's going to call. And your mama and your daddy and your friends are going to come out of the earth and be resurrected. Oh, yeah, I still preach the resurrection of the dead. And he's going to change our vile body into likeness of his glorious body. Amen. And then, not only will there be a resurrection, this right here makes me want to shout. There'll be a rapture. Now, I want you to be honest with you. I'd just soon get raptured than die.
Yep.
I like to be one of those living when he says, come up hither.
Amen.
And I wouldn't mind me preaching. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Amen.
And y'all even singing the invitation with me. And the Lord says, come up hither. And we take right up through that ceiling.
Yeah.
Whoop! Not make a hole. And go right out of here into the presence of God. And so shall we be, ever be with the Lord. And why don't we cover one another with these words? Lois, I know you're a preacher's daughter. I wasn't your pastor when your daddy was living, but I was your pastor while your mama was still living. And I know you've wrote songs about him. You've talked about him. Could you imagine this, Lois? That's just me and you have church right now. Whew. Let's get raptured up. And the second person you see after Jesus is OE and your mama. There'll be a reunion. Somebody say amen. Thank God there'll be a reunion one day. I look at Brother Jared Green running one of the cameras. His granddaddy is one of my favorite people. He's the guy, Jim Blake, who said he didn't have any faults. Amen. You say, you pastored a guy in the church that said he had no faults? Jim Blake. They had it. They gave him a little mirror to put in his pocket just to show him, you know, to look at himself every once in a while to see the faults. I want you to know one of these days I'm going to see old Jim Blake. It's because him and Mildred, we got the soul winning program we do. One of these days we're going to reunite with all the love, with all the friends. I think of your brother, James, your Uncle James. I still can see him leading that choir. I want to tell you something, Chad. You're good at it. Okay? There ain't nobody could stir me like James. There's just something about his ability to motivate people. Dear God, I can't wait to get to heaven and see him. And we all sing around the throne. He'll finally let me sing in his choir. Whoop! What a day! That'll be. Then lastly, I'm done. Whew. We had a good time. Lastly, let's go back to Samuel. Samuel was interrupted so God could call him. First of all, God wants to call you to salvation. If you're listening to my voice today and not saved, God wants to save you.
Amen.
And then he wants to call you to service. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. God wants you to serve him. Lois, come on up to the piano, if you would. And we're closing. America, Tate Valley Baptist, all you that's listening by way of live stream, I know something. Your life has been interrupted. Everything that's happening right now, you've just been interrupted. Your schedule's been interrupted. Your time to do things has been interrupted. But can I challenge you to do this? Would you do what God asked Samuel to do? And that was, or Eli asked Samuel to do. Just say to God, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. God wants to speak to this country. This country is in chaos. God wants to speak to it. God wants to speak to our church. You know, church, we have a challenge before us. Now, we don't have anybody here, but we're still having to pay missionary checks, and we're still having to take care of the bills. I'll tell you what the challenge is going to be. When you're not in the auditorium worshiping like you normally do, are you going to be faithful? Are you going to send your tithe in? Are you going to go to Taze Valley Baptist app and give your offering? Are you going to do right? And when church gets normal again, are you going to learn a lesson? That everything that we have as people is fragile, Shannon. It could be taken that quickly. Here in the last few weeks, we have a great worship service. And today we can't even have a church. And we take it for granted. We take church for granted. We take one another for granted. I tell you what we need. We need to say, Lord, speak for thy servant here. Let me pray. Right there where you're sitting. Will you bow your head if you're not saved and let God speak to your heart and you trust him? Would you right now, if you're saved, pray for America. Pray for your preacher. Pray for your community. Pray for our dear seniors that are so nervous and scared, and those that have underlying sicknesses. Pray for them that God will preserve them and take care of them. Would you right now as I'm looking at you, would you say, speak for thy servant here. Our Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for everybody that sacrificed time to be here and serve you tonight. Thank you for the quartet. They sang so great. The sound men, the camera people, our musicians. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the staff that's here. Now bless now. Comfort our people. Help them now. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Thank you, and God bless you. See you soon.